Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, welcome to episode 236. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Yeah.
Can't complain, I guess.
Well, it wouldn't help if you did.
You don't get paid extra for complaining.
Well, you know.
Even if it's entertaining.
It was an eventful afternoon yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Let's see, what was yesterday? Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Eventful. Can you share on the...
Oh, yeah.
Podcast.
Oh. My oldest son, Parker, decided to have his first fender bender.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
And out of all the makes and models of vehicles that you could possibly hit.
Was it a Mercedes?
BMW.
Oh, that's enough. Always good.
2026.
Oh. Yikes.
Brand new.
Yikes.
Brand new.
Yeah.
Brand new.
He is getting off the highway, came up to the stoplight for the right-hand turn onto Quaker Boulevard, and the car in front of him started to go, and so he looked to the left to make sure traffic wasn't coming so he could go too, and there's no traffic, so he hit the gas without looking forward again, and bam!
Man.
The lady didn't go.
Yeah.
Oh, see, it's... Yeah, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
So that's why I told him, is like, well, rule of thumb, don't hit the accelerator until you get your eyes forward again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Make sure you're not going to run
into anything. You can't assume there's... I mean, she was supposed to go, but
yeah.
But that's technically...
And she did. She stopped at the white line, and then she took off. And that's when he came up, and he stopped at the white line and looked.
And just assumed
and he assumed that... She kept going.
Yeah.
She stopped.
That's one of the worst.
Yeah. Driving is
that's
a circus out there, isn't
situation.
It? It is.
Yeah.
I know.
So I was like, hey, I've almost done that too myself.
Oh, yeah.
How did she take it? Was she?
She
pretty,
was fine.
She was
nice.
Yeah. Oh, good. I was going to say that's helpful
nice,
too
nice
when they're not
older
nasty.
Lady.
Good. That's good.
So
yeah. That does help.
It really does.
Yeah.
Well, I came. So I was bringing Claire. Claire's having her nails done by Brooklyn. Nails by Brooklyn, right? shout out. Early shout out. And hey, that's a sponsor. Hey, wait, Brooklyn, we need some money.
Nail
hey, we need
Brooklyn.
Some money. Yeah. And
okay.
Right. Nate can read that one. But so I drop her off over across the street here. And she's like, oh, Brooklyn's over there. And there's Nate and Rachel. And so I was like, okay, Claire, let me take you over there. She gets out of the car. She's walking over there. I'm like, I'm coming over there too. So I rolled down the windows and I said, who called for the meeting of the mind? I got my invitation must have gotten lost in the mail. And Rachel goes, come on, brother, get in here, you know? And so I went over there and I was like, and so I didn't know something had happened. And I was joking with Nate earlier. I said, Parker doing okay? Yeah, he's fine. I said, he was calm as a cucumber. And I said, all he needed was a popsicle. And I'm like, yep, had an accident. I'm good. Nobody died.
I don't know. Big accident.
I don't know.
Big crunch.
It's 2026.
Cars total. I don't know.
Oh, no, lots of money.
We're out there talking with the Joneses because Rachel had a check from her dad because he had his painter go out and paint my in-law's house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So she...
I thought you were out
got
there.
Got with them, and then we just started talking, and
there
two,
was some,
2.5 hours later.
You guys were having, and I had to leave because I had to go pick up William because he was texting me, and I said, Jenna's going to be so mad that she missed this. And, of course, I'm in my, you know, state. So, but you guys were talking about, and I probably shouldn't call Rachel out on this one, but Chris was laughing that you didn't know whether one of your neighbors was still alive or not.
Yeah, passed away. She's like, I think he died, and then he came walking out.
He comes walking out. Chris is like,
garage, and like,
Chris goes like, oh,
nope, he's alive.
Chris goes, I wasn't sure either, nice. But I guess we were wrong.
Well, because okay. his house is up for sale.
It's like the Burbs.
She hadn't seen him for a while.
hits the burbs all over you.
And I was like, no, I'm pretty sure I saw him mowing the lawn the other day.
We got to start digging up the backyard. Let's get in the basement.
Search. Yeah, I was going to say search the basement.
And then there was that, I was talking to Parker and I heard this, the last part of that raccoon story, which was hilarious. He said that the
You
heard the whole thing,
Yukon or Suburban.
It was back when he had a. It was before the you know Lindsay, who he's married to now, but he was with a different girl, right? His girlfriend at the time.
Was it Lindsay? It was family friend. Like they have a group of friends,
okay,
and they rented a cabin together.
Oh, see, for vacation. That's why I only heard part of it. Yeah.
And they just he said these friends are frugal. They have money, but they're frugal. Like. They still drive like 94 Camrys or something, you know? And so they finally splurged and bought a brand new
98.
Yeah. A brand new fully loaded Tahoe premium. I think that's what they're called now. So they're at this cabin. Well, the next morning, you know, they go out to get it in the truck and there is chocolate melted and
smeared everywhere, right?
All over all the seats, the floor, everywhere.
That makes me sick.
So she came in, she's like, Chris, why did you do this? He's like,
and he had no idea, right?
What? Smeared chocolate all over our brand new vehicle. He's like, I didn't do it. And she was like adamant that he did it. So they went out and investigated. All the windows were up, doors were locked, sunroof was open.
Oh,
the kids left it open,
yeah,
right?
And so then when they started
there was
looking,
candy in there.
They could see the raccoon paw prints all over the seats.
Gross.
And, so they said there was so much. He said there was so much candy or chocolate in there that they probably just grabbed it and just had a wild time and then just left with it. But it was like it was a copious amount of chocolate everywhere. But that was I caught the end of that then, so I didn't catch all of it.
It was actually terrible. Yeah. It sounds awful. It sounds having a nasty raccoon.
I was like. Oh, it is it's bad. Well, we talked about how it could have been worse if it was a bear and they ripped open everything and
break the seats.
And, yeah.
I did see a video that a bear got in some guy's car. Mm. Did you see that one?
Yeah, I've seen
that. Is heart-wrenching.
Once before, yeah.
And the guy's, oh my gosh, he's hustling out of there and here comes this big bear out of the seat.
I just recently saw a video of a bear. They like pulled up at their like rental or cabin or whatever that they're renting.
They're like, nope.
And they dropped the tailgate to start unloading, and a mama bear and her cubs come around the garage, like, uh-oh. So they like back up, and he gets up in there and grabs one of their coolers, like soft-sided coolers. It could smell the food in it. Pulls it out of there and like, wait. And I was like, no, don't go after him. And it took the cooler and took off across the street and out into the woods, and the cubs following.
Nice.
It's like, well, I guess we don't have any food now.
But we're alive.
Yeah, right.
Moral of the story, right?
It barely made it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have an interesting story, and I'll try to make it quick since we're just kind of doing intros here. I was in a haunted house today for a patient. I will not say the city. I will not obviously use names. But I had an evaluation this afternoon.
Hmm.
So I go up. So I get the address and I go up and I park and I think this is weird because it felt like a business, right? And not a home. And so I thought this is, and I looked at the address and I thought, I know this is the address. Nobody had said anything on the emails or anything like, hey, it's a little weird to get there. Just make sure you do such and such. So I go around and it's locked and I see like pews inside and it says, you know, you're being video recorded or whatever. And so I'm knocking, I ring the doorbell, which I didn't hear. And so I'm thinking, so I call the patient and he's like, oh yeah, we live in an apartment in the back. So I go on around the side and he says, there's a white Jeep. Well, I go over and I find a white Jeep that's on the other side, wrong one. I end up doubling back. It's kind of behind in a weird way, like where I parked. But I would have had no idea that this is where they lived. They lived in this little apartment in the back. So I'm doing the evaluation. I said, oh my gosh, I found you guys. And they said, yeah, it's kind of hard, you know, to find us and blah, blah, blah. Good to know now. And so I go in there, the sweetest people. They say they've been married for 61 years. They've got three kids and all this stuff. And then I said something about like, how long have you been here? And they said, oh, you know, 8 years. I was like, 8 years. And I said, so did you own, like, what is that? It was like a business. And they said, yeah, it's shut down now. It was our antique store. We actually moved it, you know, in the course of our, you know, having the store like three different times. This was the last place we had it. Closed down. used to be a funeral parlor. Really? I did not ask any questions, even though I wanted to. And I was like, I got a paranormal podcast. So I'm like, okay, just keep it calm. Keep. And then they, in the course of talking about it, they're like, yeah, there's 60 spirits here. How, 60. I said, 60 spirits. How do you, 60. They said that they had a medium come and she said, yeah, there's 60 spirits here. I said, have you seen anything? They said, no, but we hear things. We feel things. And as the woman is telling me, the wife, I swear, and I didn't tell them this because I thought I don't want to, it's weird enough what we're dealing with. She's telling me, and I see, it looked like a camera flash, like this little spark of light next to her head. And I thought, well, that was weird. And then I got this like chill up my spine, but it wasn't like, I wasn't scared, but it was just like, there was a spark beside your head. Is that normally happen? But she said the son had seen like a shadow figure at one point, and there's like the grandkids had seen some stuff. And they said, oh, yeah. They said, we think that they've helped. Because I said, anything like mean or malicious? And they said, no. They said, we think our guardian angel is here. And, they, you know, they've helped us with some of our health scares and what he had gone through and everything. And I was like, well, that's awesome. So they were very happy. But I was like, total haunted house that used to be a funeral parlor. And I was like, wow. Isn't that wild, though?
Yeah.
I was like, the guys are going to love this.
Good story.
So I told him, I said, when I come back, I want to hear more about these 60 spirits.
No kidding. Mm-hmm.
But they were so, like, it wasn't a, like, ooh, this is a scary place. They're like, no, this is our home, and we're happy here, and we share it with them, and it's all good.
Okay. Everybody gets along. Cool. Oh.
It happens. It can happen in the spirit world. Somebody mowing.
Wow. Yeah. Mowing at night.
Chris.
It's Chris.
Chris. Jeez. 8 o'clock at night, can't see. But he must have.
He has a headlight.
He's right got there. The headlights, yeah. Oh, you can't see there. Yeah. Very bright. It's the spirit. It's the spirit.
It's a floating orb.
Mm-hmm.
I had headlights on my riding mower, but I never mowed when it was dark.
One time, and it's like, I just can't do it. It just seems silly. It's like, I have to just wait till it's light. No offense, Chris.
Yeah.
No judgment.
Good for him.
Right?
All right. Well, that was good. Yeah, that was a good story, though, Sean. Mm-hmm. 60 spirits. Wow.
That dare's a haunted house.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the first sponsorship.
Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
Thank you, Micah, as always, for your sponsorship. We appreciate it.
Micah's awesome.
Yep.
Did I tell you that?
Fantastic product. Fantastic man.
He's pretty decent.
Dreamy eyes.
Dreamy eyes? I didn't want to be the one to say it. Dreamy eyes. I didn't want Nate to think that I was trying to hone in on his man meat.
Wow.
I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean it that way. That didn't come out right.
This is a family-friendly show, but let's rewind that. Every once in a while kind of lowers
Wow.
Piece of man meat. I don't know what I'm saying.
Hey, that's scary and creepy.
Yeah, I know. And Mike is like, you just took that to a whole new level.
Oh, Sean.
Mm. Rachel would be so confused when she hears us talk about these things. She'd be like, you have a boyfriend? No, Nate doesn't have a boyfriend. It's Micah. Jeez.
What the heck are you talking about?
I honestly don't think she cares.
My only thing, and I
take
should
take him, have him.
Honestly, I should really consider everything I say now because this does filter through the Austin Lawrence filter every time. So this will come to the next live show. It'll be tomorrow morning. I'll hear about it.
That is true. That is true.
We love you, Micah, though.
We do, and we do appreciate the sponsorship.
Yep.
So go get you some Cultured Creature Beard Balm. I got to always say it, you know. I'm on a good
streak.
It's
a balm. Throw it out.
It's a balm.
It works fantastically.
Good. That is good. It's spoken by Nate Laux. He is.
That's right. He should know.
His testimony speaks for it.
It's a testimonial.
Well, thank you, Mr. Micah. So let's move on to the dad joke of the show. Which is the best part of the show, correct?
Of course.
Yeah, that's what I thought. have another shout-out to give and credit. Miss Tiffany Boots, who listens and is a follower, friend of the show. This is her joke. So 2 weeks in a row. Yeah, got to give her credit for this one. Pretty good one. All right. Says, I adopted a dog from a blacksmith. As soon as I brought him home, he made a bolt for the door.
Oh.
There you go.
I didn't have to guess that one. I like these guys. Yeah. Thank you, Tiffany.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That was a good one. She goes, I thought it was cute.
See what they did there?
It was pretty cute.
Made a bolt.
I got it.
Blacksmith.
Blacksmith. Bolt. Blacksmith.
Sorry. So credit Tiffany Boots. Thank you, Tiffany. We appreciate that. And that is the dad joke of the show. And as always, you are welcome.
Nice.
All right, let's move on to first announcements. Sean, do you have those, sir?
I do. We come together every week for the paranormal, the guy time, the fun, right? But the most important thing that we do is continue to build a mental health community. So we want you to have that information to be able to do that. Call or text 988 or text home to 7401-7401 or dash or whatever for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing. So go get you some help.
Please do.
Yes.
Very important. Take care of yourself.
Yep. And you're not alone. I can attest to that. So I think we all can, right?
Yes. Do not live on an island. We say that many times.
Nope.
There's
somebody out there that'll listen to you.
I like that we point out that this is for you getting help or if there's somebody that you know needs help and you don't know how to help them, then they can help you through that as well, which I like that. I like that very much.
Very true. Very true. So, yeah, do what you need to do to get some help. And don't think you're bugging anybody. You know, that there's somebody that'll listen to you.
Yes.
You're loved by somebody. So. Anyway, thank you, Sean, for that. And now, again, no special announcements, so I'm going to skip right by that.
No soup for you.
No for us. Special announcements for us.
For the creepies.
For the creepies, that's right. So we're going to get right to it, the topic. Sean, what are we talking about for this episode?
This is your pick, and this is a really good one. It is Haunted, Oregon. And if interested, please check out our show notes for the source links we use for this topic.
Nice.
Notice I didn't even, I said Oregon just normally. Didn't say Oregon.
Yeah, you
didn't say Oregon-y, nothing.
I got to
oregano.
Oregano. There you go.
I got to redo my search. I did Haunted Organs.
Oh!
I'm sorry.
Oh,
you did Organs. There you go.
You know, we could go down that. I mean, or we could do a little
Haunted
side.
Lung.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Nate, you're going to. It's going to be completely different than what we have on our list. So
I thought I was prepared.
That's all right. That's okay. Do you have a foundation on the state of Oregon, by the way?
The only foundation you need is it's the beaver state.
<That's> Sorry. True.
Oregon is a state in the Pacific Northwest region of the United States. Of course, it's the United States. It is a part of the western United States with Columbia River delineating, much of Oregon's northern boundary and Washington, while the Snake River delineates, I said it right that time, much of its eastern boundary with Idaho. The 42nd North Parallel delineates, I'm getting tired of that word, the southern boundary with California and Nevada. The western boundary is formed by the Pacific Ocean. That was just a really, like, how to carve out the state. Why in the world is that? And it's the Beaver State.
It is the Beaver State.
That's a lot of information. Not a lot. It's the, their national bird. Their state bird is the western meadowlark. Their state insect is the butterfly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which one?
Good to know.
It's the I'm sorry. Sorry, they have a state butterfly called the Oregon Swallowtail.
Okay.
I just read the fact that they have a state butterfly.
It's a butterfly.
It's a butterfly. What kind?
Which one?
All of them. The pretty ones.
Millions of different butterflies.
Oregon Swallowtail. I didn't know there was.
They have a state bird.
They have a state crustacean, fish, flower, grass, insect, mammal, mushroom, tree, beverage, dance, food,
beverage,
fossil, gemstone, rock, shell, soil, and other category. What in the world? They have a state nut is the other. It's the hazelnut.
Hazelnut.
Before you ask.
I like hazelnuts.
The rock is a thunder egg. What? I don't know. We could... Beverages, milk. Sorry. It's... I don't know why you need all... I've never looked up Indiana and seen so many things. Apparently, the state of Oregon is just very kept. It's very unique.
All right. Well, thank you for that foundation.
It's way, way more than we needed to know.
Well, since it's my pick, I'm going to start.
Go for it.
I've got a haunted location here.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most haunted, as this says, in the state of Oregon. Battery Russell. And so first it says, FYI, a military battery refers to a cluster of cannons in action as a group, whether it is a temporary installation or permanent. There are many batteries at Fort Stevens, and Battery Russell is just one of several in the area. So it says, Battery Russell is a military building installation at Fort Stevens near Astoria, Oregon. If you visit, make sure... Oh, man, my phone just went crazy there. Hold on, creepies.
I'm glad yours... Mine did, too.
There we go.
I don't know why.
If you visit, make sure you pick up a brochure in the parking lot explaining what things are and where they used to be on the map. You can get lost and confused easily here. There are two levels, the bottom with storage and office buildings at the top with old gun pits. During World War II, on June 21st, 1942, a Japanese submarine stationed off the coast managed to damage the fort. This makes it the only U.S. mainland military base to be fired upon since 1812. It is said that ghosts of soldiers can be seen walking around the grounds, likely from the Civil War era. Did I say area? Era. Battery Russell was a highly unpopular station, mainly because it was built haphazardly and quickly, and soldiers never stayed very long. Common stories are ones of seeing a soldier with a knife, another soldier pacing up and down the area with a flashlight, and it makes one of the spookiest day trips from Portland. So there you go.
Oh,
Battery
nice.
Russell.
I like that. It's a good way to start.
Yeah. Hmm. Kind of interesting little history there, too.
I like that.
Yeah, thanks. Whoever wants to go next is, let's do it.
I'll let Nate go because mine are Nate? Not pulling up. Okay. I'm trying to get him to pull up.
I have the Oregon Caves Chateau.
Oh, Chateau. Fancy.
Yeah, fancy.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. this is at Cave Junction. And I'm lucky that I know what Chateau is, how it's pronounced, because it looks like Chatea. To you?
Yeah.
It's Chateau. I know that.
Okay.
Oregon Caves Chateau was built in 1932 and still has the same rustic atmosphere as it did back then. Guests say that they start feeling uneasy as soon as they see the building. This continues to build as you climb the narrow staircase to the upper floors. It is said that a spirit named Elizabeth lingers in the sixth floor hallway during the day before wandering the hotel at night. She is said to be the spirit of a young woman betrayed by her husband on their wedding night.
Oh, no, not one of those.
She jumped to her death from the window of room 301. After seeing her husband in a compromising position with one of the chambermaids.
Oh, man.
A story that's old as time.
All right.
Yeah. Wow. What was the name of it again? The something Chateau?
It is Oregon Caves Chateau.
Oregon Caves Chateau.
Okay. I just like the term chambermaid.
Chambermaid? You like that? Why is that?
It sounds very risque.
Oh, jeez. Sean.
It does sound risky. I know. I'm all about that tonight, apparently. I don't mean to be.
What's going on here?
Here I am. Hey, my stuff did come up. So Portland's haunted Shanghai tunnels.
Oh,
man. Really? We talked about that a long time ago. One of our first episodes, remember? Mm-hmm. You've been Shanghai'd, right? And that where the term comes from?
Yeah.
Portland, Oregon, a mecca of art, shopping, food, and natural beauty, and entertainment. But in Portland's Victorian days, neighborhoods in the waterfront city saw the seedier side of things like saloons, bordellos, and boarding houses catering to the working folk who were just passing through. Chambermaids, right? Tourists and locals alike gather in shops and restaurants completely unaware of what lies just beneath their feet. Under the ground in most of Portland are 150-year-old tunnels that connect the basements of the city's most historic buildings to the Willamette River, as well as Portland's Chinatown. These tunnels were constructed by the back-breaking labor of Chinese workers when Chinatown was the hub for trade business. The tunnel's original purpose was to transport goods from cargo ships to the inner city without the hassle of inner city traffic on land. This meant that crews could avoid long waits and, in turn, losses of money. The tunnels also streamlined storage and trade of all types, seemed like a good thing for the economy and so on and so forth. This says Portland at the time was just a small town, but it had a large port that supported many ships, a fitting name for popular port city. Cargo ships sailed for months and months across the Pacific before unloading their cargo in Portland. When ships were unloading, sailors had a very short window of downtime before they were expected to pack up, set sail once more. Some sailors took the opportunity to abandon their wayward life at sea because they feared death and disease. This left sea captains with many positions that needed to be filled as soon as possible. People were reluctant to sign up for long sea voyages, and so crooked captains started the process of Shanghaiing men. Captains would hire men to Shanghai replacement sailors for $50 a head. This is where the Shanghai tunnels got their name. Men looking to make a quick buck would prowl around the Portland bars, saloons, looking for young and able-bodied men who were alone. They would then wait until their target was drunk and take him to the basement of the establishment, where they would knock the victim unconscious and drag them through the tunnels to the docks. Once on board the ships, these men had no choice but to work. It says some researchers estimate that as many as 1,500 people a year were Shanghaied in Portland's Shanghai tunnels. It goes through prohibition and all the different reports of how the horrible atrocities that happened in those tunnels. This says haunted Portland. For those brave enough, haunted tours of the Shanghai tunnels are offered all during the day, of course. It's advised that you come prepared with water and a flashlight and never for any reason leave the group. It would be a shame to end up like the Shanghai men of the past, lost and alone in the haunted Shanghai tunnels of Portland. So they said that there's all kind of, with all the people that were dragged and tortured and left and imprisoned down there, they said that there's just shadow figures and you hear cries and you hear just terrible, torturous things down there, and you feel heavy in energies and just so there's just a lot of haunted stuff going on down there. So, but
sounds like it.
It's got a terrible dark past, so you can see why.
Yeah. That's that would be pretty rough to be Shanghai'd.
It's a great, great one, right?
You're pretty much at their, you're forced labor and stuck on a ship and probably never see your family again. That would suck. Thank you, Sean.
No problem.
I've got an area called Mount Hood / Columbia River Gorge, but this place is called McMenamin's Edgefield. So McMenamin's Edgefield in Troutdale is a beloved spot for concerts, weekend getaways, or lazy afternoons sipping wine or beer. But it has a sordid past. They had me at sordid past. Built in 1911 as the Multnomah County Poor Farm, The original site housed an eclectic mix of people who worked on site at the farm as well as at the laundry facilities, hospital wing, and the jail. But in the 1950s, it took in tuberculosis patients, then children with mental health issues, the aging, and the infirm. For some time, the building shuttered and fell into disrepair until the McMenamin brothers bought it and reopened it as Edgefield Winery in 1990, slowly adding the brewery, movie theater, guest rooms, golf course, landscaping, and more. Today, some still feel the eerie presence of those who died there, many whom are believed to be buried in unmarked graves on the property. That is the McMenamin's Edgefield.
That's pretty kooky.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Scary. It is a lot.
Interesting. So, there you go. What you got, Nate?
I have Highway 101, Cannon Beach.
Okay.
So Highway 101 is a stunning stretch of highway along Oregon's coast. It may look beautiful, but it has a darker side. Since the early 60s, there have been reports of people seeing a man with a bandaged face appear at the side of the road. Some say they have even glimpsed him sitting in their back seat through the rear view mirror. But when they turn around, he is gone.
A bandaged man.
Bandaged.
I'm a bandaged man on my elbow, on my arm here. Huh.
So yeah, that would definitely be creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, isn't this beautiful? Ocean over there.
Yeah.
Beautiful landscape. Oh my gosh. Who's in the back seat?
Hello.
Did you hear the story of why he's bandaged?
No.
I saw, so it says the most common origin story is that bandaged man was a logger who was severely mutilated in a sawmill accident and subsequently wrapped in bandages before being transported by ambulance. The ambulance is said to have crashed on a bend in the old Highway 101, and the man was never found, leading to the legend of his vengeful spirit.
Oh. Hmm.
Other versions suggest he was an electrician or a firefighter. It all sounds terrible. Hmm. But at the core element on the bandaged figure remains consistent. The legend may have been influenced by real dangers of the old Highway 101, which was known for being narrow, curvy, and prone to landslides and flooding, earning it the nickname Death Row in some reports. The construction of the Mummy File series by Universal Pictures in 1940 may have also contributed to imagery of mummy-like figures. Interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah, it's like a local folklore there.
Huh. All right. The Bandaged Man. What else you got, Sean? What's your story?
So I have Haunted Falls, and it is the, I want to make sure I don't spell or say this wrong, the Multnomah Falls in Columbia River Gorge. It says, did you know that one of the most famous Columbia River Gorge waterfalls has a creepy past? Long before the famous bridge was constructed, the story goes that an indigenous woman leapt off the top of the falls to save her village from a rampant illness. Many claim to feel her presence in the mist. Did you think she was like, I'm sick, I'm going to die, and stay away, I guess? Many claim to feel her presence in the mist, but the most common sightings are during winter in Oregon when visitors say they can spot her face in the white water. See. Take a albeit icy?
Albeit.
You just don't see that very often. I was like, is this some kind of a Canadian thing? Take an albeit icy hike to the top of the should really proofread these things a lot ahead of time. Hike to the top of the falls to experience a dizzying height. It is very tall up there. So yeah. So she must. It doesn't really say anything else. So she must have been like, "Here's, you know, sickness be gone. Goodbye."
Yeah, no kidding.
That is heroic and terrible at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. All right, good one. I've got Lithia Park in Southern Oregon. Lithia Park is often called the crown jewel of Ashland, with forested trails that makes it one of the loveliest places to see the leaves turn in autumn. But it's also one of the most haunted places in town, where visitors have reported seeing apparitions of three specific types. One is a pulsating image of a young girl who was reportedly killed at the site more than 100 years ago. Another is a dog-faced boy who lived in the area. I don't know why I'm laughing. Another is a dog-faced boy who lived in the area in the 1920s, but one day mysteriously disappeared. Yet another is a logger who met an untimely death crushed by a tree. Some say they can sometimes hear a faint whistling song, thought to be the tunes he would sometimes play on his favorite instrument, fashioned from an old milk jug. Lithia Park.
I was going to say it's better than a boy-faced dog.
Right. It's that, like, would be weird.
Whoa, that's even weirder.
Yeah, I think.
Wow, I don't know which is worse, but.
Yeah, that's kind of a twist. I never thought about it.
I didn't want to interrupt
boy-faced
you.
Boy-faced dog. Like,
I don't know where that came from. Huh. Albeit.
Right. Sorry. Albeit. All right, Lithia Park. There you go. Who's next? Who we got?
I have Oregon Vortex.
Oh,
Gold
Vortex.
Hill.
There you
okay.
go.
Okay, all right.
The Oregon Vortex was originally known to Native Americans as the Forbidden Ground, largely because they believed the evil spirits roamed the land. It is said that their horses would shy away and refuse to enter the area. A house was built on the land, but it has sunk into the ground at a diagonal. However, despite this, anyone inside the house stands perfectly upright.
Oh.
It has also been said that people appear to change height inside what is believed to be a vortex.
Hmm.
Whoa. My computer just glitched on me too. There are also many ghost stories here, most of them revolving around the apparition of scientist John Lister, who originally discovered the unique properties of the area.
I thought you were going to say Listerine.
Sorry.
Jeez.
I've got Tillamook Head Trail, and it's at the Ecola State Park. Between the abandoned World War II bunkers and Terrible Tilly, the decommissioned lighthouse, that's what they call lighthouse, Terrible Tilly, this place, which that's a terrible name, right? This place can get really creepy real fast during bad weather bouts. The 12.2-mile RT trail is a beautiful Oregon coast hike in good weather, but when the fog rolls in, it can become super spooky. This place also was a booming logging area abundant with spur trees, with plenty of areas where temporary logging camps used to be. Tillamook Rock Lighthouse, which is pretty famous too, you see a lot of pictures of that, is notorious for nightmarish weather conditions. It is constantly being slammed by rough waves. It was also used as a columbarium for a time. Does anybody know what that is?
Say that again.
It is columbarium.
Columbarium.
It sounds like columbine or something like that, but it's columbarium for a time, which is a location for the remains of cremated bodies.
Okay.
So let's go.
Never heard that.
Looks creepy.
Never heard that
I like
before.
I hadn't either.
Columbarium.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'll take it.
You're better.
I bet. Well, I have the hauntings of Hot Lake Hotel. How about that?
Woo-woo.
Hot Lake Hotel earned a reputation as one of the scariest places in the world due to numerous eerie stories. One common sighting is the apparition of a gardener who reportedly committed suicide on the property. Guests have claimed to see his ghost wandering the grounds, eternally tending to the gardens. The hotel's past as an insane asylum also adds to its ghostly reputation. Former patients and staff are said to haunt the premises with tales of disembodied voices, screams in the night, and unexplained footsteps echoing through the hallways. Perhaps the most haunting accounts come from guests who have stayed in the hotel, reports of phantom hands touching them while they sleep, objects moving on their own, and unexplained apparitions appearing in mirrors have sent shivers down the spines of those brave enough to spend a night in this haunted establishment. The otherworldly activity extends beyond the hotel itself. Nearby ponds are rumored to be, are rumored to harbor mysterious creatures that slither beneath the water's surface, adding an extra layer of fear and intrigue to the already haunted atmosphere.
Hmm.
One of the most chilling phenomena reported at Hot Lake Hotel is the ghostly piano music heard on the third floor. Legend has it that Robert E. Lee's wife, who frequently visited the hotel, would bring her own piano, and some believe her spirit continues to serenade unsuspecting guests. With bloodstains appearing on walls and the constant presence of dark figures, Hot Lake Hotel has become a playground for ghost hunters, spectral enthusiasts, and thrill seekers looking for a bone-chilling encounter with the otherworldly. That was a lot.
That is a
lot. That has a lot of stuff.
We like the bone-chilling piano music, though.
You like that?
I like that a lot.
So put that on the list. Hot Lake Hotel has a lot.
You had me at the name. As soon as I heard that name, I'm like, I'm in.
That I got. I was like, when I found that one, I'm like, that one sounds pretty good.
Again, it sounds scandalous.
Scandalous. There you go.
I'm in a mood tonight, aren't I? An ornery mood.
You are.
Damn, I don't know why. Just wait till you get to my next one.
How about Lafayette Pioneer Cemetery?
Ooh, good old cemetery.
That sounds creepy.
Okay.
Guess where it's at?
In a cemetery?
In Oregon.
Lafayette.
I would have never guessed that.
In the 1800s, a woman was accused of witchcraft and was hanged for her supposed crimes. Immediately before her death, she cursed the town of Lafayette. Mm. saying that it would burn to the ground 3 times.
Take that, right?
That's it.
And did it?
No.
she said it was going to.
Since then, the entire town has burned down twice.
Ooh, it's still got one more to go.
So the curse is not yet broken. Her ghost has also been spotted roaming not only the location in which she was hanged, but also Lafayette Cemetery, where she was buried. She has been said to lurk in the shadows and scream at visitors, even going as far as to chase them out of the cemetery.
Oh.
Those who have been chased out often have razor-like cuts across their backs, perhaps from her fingernails as she grabs at them. The attacks got so frequent that the cemetery has now been closed to the public and bears a no trespassing sign for public safety.
Don't put that on the list.
No, I think
I don't want to be slashed in the back with witches and razor-like fingernails.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
Nope.
That was.
That's a lot.
That was.
You keep saying it's a lot. That's a lot too.
That's a lot. Mm-hmm. That's a whole malevolent. Lot. Yeah.
Whole lot of witchery.
The town is destined to burn one more time.
Mm-hmm. That's what's kind of crazy.
Let's go buy some property.
Oh. Oh. Man.
I smell an arsonist, but you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't smell anything, but.
Well, thank you, Nate. Mm-hmm. What you got, Sean?
This is Malheur. I'm going to say Buddy, but it's not really. Or Booty. It's Butte.
Oh, B-U-T-T.
Butte, but yeah. Buddy. So the Butte, once said to be a gathering place for a group of witches, Nate, look at this. I don't know. What was it with Oregon and witches, right? Mm-hmm. Locals claim that the witches will someday return, probably for that third fire, right? And have left shadows on the Butte to protect the area. And many people claim to see apparitions of small dogs and shadowy figures on and around the Butte. I got to say, Booty. And it's on private property, so it's not exactly a recommended haunted Pacific Northwest trail to take. You will technically be trespassing on private property and by witchy standards.
Mm.
You like that? That's punny, isn't it?
I like that.
Yeah, it's very punny.
Witchy.
It's what is with all these witches, though. But yeah, the Malheur Butte.
Huh. Okay. Must have a thing for witches.
Right?
Yeah.
Sounds like it. Salem on the East Coast. Oregon?
Yeah.
On the West Coast.
On the West Coast.
That's right. I never put those two together. I have now.
What's up, my witches?
Right. That's hilarious. That's so funny.
I smell children.
Uh-oh. All right. I've got the legend of the Elsinore Theater in Willamette Valley. All right. There's a legendary cold spot on stage at the Elsinore Theater in Salem. In Oregon, the 1930s era historic landmark that was once considered the finest theater between Portland and San Francisco. In its heyday, the theater attracted stars like Clark Gable, John Philip Sousa, and Doc Severinsen, who as a child played trumpet for the Mickey Mouse Club matinee. I didn't know that. Do you know that?
Hmm.
I remember Doc Severinsen, which also used the space for auditions. Visitors have long reported feeling the close presence of lost souls and hearing their voices too. Some surmise it could be theater owner George Guthrie or his daughter, who reportedly fell to her death from the balcony. Today, the theater is a popular venue for shows of all types. And that was the Elsinore Theater.
Hmm. I like that.
Well, I'm going to stay on the witch's theme.
All right.
This is the Witch's Castle in Portland.
Hmm.
Even the name of this property is enough to send a shiver up your spine, so it is hardly surprising that the Witch's Castle in Portland is considered one of the most haunted places in Oregon. It was purchased in 1850 by the Blatch family as a sanctuary for the family, but soon it became more like a prisoner. When their daughter fell in love with the hired help. Danford Blatch ended up killing the man. He then claimed he did so because his wife had bewitched him with a spell. However, he was still hanged for his crime. His death holds the distinction of being the first legal hanging in Oregon. Anna was returned to the house where she had lost both her love and her father and lived out the rest of her life there. Hmm. Now it is said that she haunts the building with her father and her lost love. People have reported seeing ghostly figures fighting around midnight.
Mm. So we're getting a lot of fighting, hangings and witchery going on, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And booties. Just say Butte, Sean. Just say Butte.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, well, I've got, I did not know this about Oregon or ghost towns, but this says, Oregon has more ghost towns than any other state in the U.S., but their populations are often far from zero. The residents just aren't from the land of the living. Suspectors, they make their presence known by items falling seemingly with no help from the living and by eerie whispers, faint glimmers, and strange sensations. To some, they're the face that seems out of place or in an empty, misty cemetery. To others, they're the sudden cold spots in an otherwise warm room. Whatever the experience, supernatural, unexplained encounters like these have been reported across the country's spookiest abandoned places for decades, some for centuries. Whether you personally believe in ghosts or not, Oregon has plenty of haunted places to choose from. But it says one of them is this ghost town. Let's see. Oregon has hiding in its recesses one of the coolest spooky hotspots, and it's actually hiding in plain sight at one of Oregon's most overlooked state parks, the Golden State Heritage Site near Medford, Oregon. Off a quiet road in southern Oregon, the town of Golden sits in a small clearing framed by Douglas firs. This now eerily quiet mining town was founded in the 1890s during a short-lived family-led gold rush along Coyote, if I can say it right, Creek. But unlike more notable ghost towns like Shinoko and Antelope, Golden never really blossomed into one of the bustling, rowdy, strike-it-rich meccas found elsewhere. Instead, a small subgroup of religious settlers led by Reverend William Rubble, like Barney, right? Mm-hmm. Built the town into a small, disciplined community where they outlawed alcohol, gambling, and even dancing. Well, what kind of ghost town is this? A rare ideology, or mining town, I guess. A rare ideology for a mining town. The town had two churches, a schoolhouse, and a post office, but it never had a saloon, and it never grew to house more than around 100 people. In the middle of this decidedly mellow community, the gold disappeared, and the people quickly followed after a short stint as a quote-unquote traditional town. Then the post office shut down in 1920, and within a decade, nature crept in to replace the residents. Today, Oregon Parks and Recreation manages the Golden State Heritage Site, but surprisingly few people know about it. Many visitors come by word of mouth or the occasional online mention, not because they've heard that Golden is haunted. And if the rumors are to be believed, it turns out there might actually be quite a few residents still holding up this forgotten town, specifically from the other side.
Mm.
Is that crazy?
It is.
Yeah. It says they still try to preserve the church, the general store, a carriage shed. So, and they just look like they're suspended in time. But yeah, they say that there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on around there.
Nice.
There are cult-like rumors, it says, that they're in this area.
Cult or a cult?
Cult.
Cult.
Cult rumors. So, you know how we, yeah, that stuff happens in different places, but... Mm. I'd like. Weird. Well, hopefully it's a nice cult. I doubt it. Just that.
Well,
word.
Either one, cult or the cult's bad.
None of it's good, right? Yeah. No. Sounds terrible, but
that was good.
I'm in.
I'd go there.
Nate's in.
I don't think I want to go there during the night time.
Nate says, put it on the list.
He's all for it.
Well, I don't know, Nate. I don't know about that. Mm. All right, that was good. How about one more round? How about that?
Yeah. Sounds good.
This will be my last one. We talked about this. We did either, I don't know if it was a full or a mini, but the Geyser Grand Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We did.
Yes, the Geyser Grand Hotel in Baker City, Oregon is widely considered to be haunted, with reports of a lady in blue in room 302, a headless cook, and a variety of paranormal phenomena, including disembodied voices, flickering lights, and moving objects. Visitors and staff have reported encountering spirits, including Maybelle Geyser, a former owner associated with the hotel's room 302. The hotel's rich and varied history, including its time as a brothel, contributes to its spooky reputation. They have a headless cook whose head was allegedly crushed by a dumbwaiter. other entities, Maybell Geyser, another former owner, is said to move jewelry and knock on the walls in the room 302. Reports include loud music, laughter, and disembodied voices emanating from empty rooms, flickering lights, footsteps, doors opening and closing, and objects moving on their own. And last but not least, good old EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, have allegedly been captured, including a possible Southern gentleman saying, "I sees you."
And I sees you
in recordings of a little girl's voice. So there you go. The Geyser Grand Hotel.
Nice.
In Baker City, Oregon. All right, Nate.
All right. My last one, I have the Pittock Mansion in Portland.
Oh, a mansion.
Pittock Mansion is a huge 16,000 square foot building built in 1909 by Henry Pittock, the publisher of the Oregonian. I don't know if that has a magazine or newspaper, probably newspaper, and his wife, Georgiana. The couple died in 1918 and 1919. But the family lived in the mansion until 1964. The house was then turned into a museum, but few people know it is one of the most haunted places in Oregon. The haunted nature of the property is more or less kept on the down low, but that hasn't stopped tales of the ghosts slipping out. Apparently, the Pittocks are still there and often tidy up or move furniture around.
Oh.
Huh. So they're cleanly.
Okay.
Helpful.
Yeah, that sounds like
Sounds like they are. It's always good to be a helpful ghost, right? If you're going to be there, you might as well pick up a broom, right?
Yeah, we've heard those ghosts before. They're in hotels and they tidy up the rooms or they fold people's clothes
you,
or put away the clothes for them in the dresser.
Helpful spirits, I like it.
Yeah.
I got an area or a town and city, whatever, in Oregon called the Corvallis. And there are two locations there that they're the most haunted.
Corvallis. Where Oregon State is.
That's it. That's exactly where we're starting, too. Corvallis is home to a handful of haunted locations, including, according to local legend, Oregon State University.
Oh, okay.
Oregon State is the most well-known haunted location there, with ghosts in residence at Community Hall, Sackett Hall, and Waldo Hall. Where's Waldo, right? Shelderland Middle School is supposedly home to the ghost of a janitor, and Crescent Valley High School's theater department apparently boasts a cranky poltergeist. In other parts of town, a warlock haunts Crystal Lake, Masonic Cemetery, and the Whiteside Theater is home to the spirit of Lillian McElroy Taylor, a vaudevillian star who haunted the Oregon in the theater. So Oregon University, Oregon State University features multiple spooks and ghost stories. On the fourth floor of Waldo Hall, you might spot the shade of Ida Kidder, OSU's first librarian. Ida Kidder began working at the Oregon State Library at OSU, then called Oregon Agricultural College in 1908. She inventoried, organized, and modernized the college's entire book collection and helped get a new library building built, among other accomplishments. Waldo Hall used to be the Widow's Hall, and Ida Kidder lived there until her death in 1920. Apparently, she never left. Folks who claim to have encountered her ghost describe feelings of an unseen presence in the room with them, a door slamming closed for no reason, the sounds of furniture being moved, and the sound of someone walking in high heels across the floor. Hello, Ida. Meanwhile, in Community Hall, pesky spirits apparently love to hide the janitorial supplies and like to play music when they've run out of things to hide. Stories claim you can sometimes hear a woman singing accompanied by a piano in vacant rooms. Sackett Hall is home to what are easily the scariest ghost stories at Oregon State. In 1974, Ted Bundy abducted student Kathy Parks from Oregon State University Memorial Union cafeteria. According to urban legend, Parks was killed in the basement of Sackett Hall, and her body was hidden somewhere in the underground tunnels beneath OSU. This isn't true, of course. Bundy confessed to taking Parks over 250 miles away to Taylor Mountain before murdering her, and some of the remains were eventually found there. Parks isn't the only ghost hacking, or I'm sorry, not hacking, haunting Sackett Hall. I was just combining stuff there. Though a second ghost, Becky, is supposedly the spirit of a 1950s student who was murdered by a drunken frat boy. She was has a penchant for standing over the foot of residents' beds and setting the occasional fire. So that's how the town of Lafayette's going to burn one more time. Wow. Then that, the only other one is a short one, is the West Side Theater there that's in the city. The West Side Theater opened as a vaudevillian theater in 1922 and was home to Lillian McElroy Taylor, a famous vaudevillian performer. She played the organ and was, and was well known for her beauty and talent. She was fired in 1931 when the theater managers were trying to save money. Not long after her firing and with her health failing, she discovered her husband was straying. Lillian shot him dead and then turned the gun on herself. Lillian was apparently particularly fond of the White Side's organ, and her hauntings began when the organ was brought back to the theater. Witnesses say they can hear her footsteps, and she will sometimes turn the lights on and off and open and close the doors. Lillian isn't the only specter in the residence at the White Side. You may also spot Charles Whiteside, who is theater founders George and Sam Whiteside's younger brother. Charles has been spotted in the theater sitting on occasion. Spooky.
Creepy.
Creepy deep.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good way to end it.
Yeah.
Nice. Haunted Corvallis.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Then who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Yeah. There's a whole lot of haunting going on there.
A whole lot of haunting going on.
I think that one could be on the list.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah.
A lot of witches, fires hanging in that
Just
state,
not the
apparently.
Cemetery.
Yeah, not the cemetery. No, thank you.
Well, no trespassing anyhow.
Right.
Well, that didn't stop anybody.
No. I was going to say.
If it was worth going, we would.
Stop the Mako boys? Probably. Yeah, probably. We got to have invitations. We don't want to be there too late.
I don't know if you know this.
Got a bedtime?
It's just a sign.
Yeah.
It's a suggestion. I was just going to say, that's what my wife calls speed limit signs. It's a suggestion. And I'm like, tell that to the cop when he pulls you over.
Yeah.
He won't believe it.
Well, I hope the creepies enjoyed Haunted Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stories, a lot of good places to check out. So. There you go. Haunted Oregon.
Yeah.
Hope they enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
Coming off of that, for Sean, I think I'm going with Dark Side.
Okay.
Yeah. Dark Side.
Dark Side. You thinking the Oregonians are going to appreciate that? Went Light Side. This is Coming Home, Oregon. It's by Matt Kearney. Not one that I'd heard of before. I do know Matt Kearney, though. I know
Sounds
some
made
of stuff.
Up.
It is made up. Mm. But the lyrics are really good and the song's good. So go check it out, especially if you're from Oregon.
We'll
you probably have already.
We'll
yeah, you like this. I
Did
promise.
They sing this on the Oregon Trail?
They might have. It's possible. I headed out down Interstate 5. I wish it would have been Interstate 101. But my money was all spent, but I felt so alive. I was chasing down the dream like you always thought me to, but the evergreens and caffeine still remind me of you. I'm coming home to the place that I remember. Back to the land of my first love. Would you spread wide your arms for this wayward son? I left my heart in Oregon. I left my heart in Oregon. Well, the northwest air brings the fast boys to town. Be like fire on the Cascades when our feet touch the ground. I'm coming home to the place that I remember. Back to the land of my first love. Would you spread wide your arms for this wayward son? I left my heart in Oregon. I left my heart in Oregon. Because in my mind is a memory, tastes so good, it's bittersweet, of cheap champagne and a victory. I'm coming home to the place I remember, back to the land of my first love. Would you spread wide your arms for this wayward son? I left my heart in Oregon. I left my heart in Oregon. And this is, I left my heart in Oregon. So trust me, it's good. Go listen to it, especially if you've enjoyed this episode. It's a good way to cap it off. Light side. There's no darkness in there.
If you say so.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm just kidding.
I'll play it for you later. You know that.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. What was the name of it again?
Coming Home, Oregon.
Coming Home.
Coming Home. And then actually it's Coming Home in Oregon in parentheses. Oh, okay. But yeah.
Gotcha. All right. I guess it was a middle-aged.
I figured it counted since it said Oregon many times. Several times, actually.
Well, good.
It's supposed to be the state song. I think it was on there.
Is that the state song?
The state candy and the state bird,
yeah,
and the state stone,
color.
The state nut, the state other.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
All right. Well, moving on, shout-outs. Any shout-outs, Nate, this week?
I don't believe so. Oh, shout-out to my youngest son, Dane. We went and with him to Beech Grove on the south side of Indy. There was a car show, and it was his first car show with El Camino.
Oh, nice.
So we had his car, my in-laws, Chevelle, and then their friend that they grew up with. He has two Chevelles, too.
Mm-hmm.
So his two Chevelles were there, and yeah, we had a good time.
That's awesome. Fun. That's very cool.
So,
ring, ring.
Hello. Hello.
I need to go to a car show. I haven't been in years.
Is that who's calling?
There was a car show in Danville the day of our live event. So
mm-hmm.
That's okay. Live event is more important.
No, it's pretty cool because their friend Mitch, he with the two Chevelles, the one, I can't remember what year it is, but it has like a supercharger and all this engine mm-hmm. work and stuff. Super cool car. But then his second one is a 67 Chevelle.
Mm.
My in-laws, which was parked right next to it, is a 68 Chevelle. And then parked next to her was Dane's El Camino, which is a 69. And the El Camino was basically the Chevelle front end
right.
with a truck bed.
Yeah.
So it was cool seeing all three years in a line.
I bet Dane was in heaven.
Oh, he had a great time.
I bet mm-hmm.
he is happy. Mm-hmm. A lot of people coming up and talking, and man, I love El Caminos. They're so cool. This thing looks great.
Don't see much of them.
And yeah, I mean, it's put a lot far from perfect, but mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, we still need to get carpet on the inside and get all the gauges working. And
he doesn't have to carry the gas tank around anymore.
No,
he did that for a while.
Gas tank works.
Oh, that's good. Yay.
Yeah. Whatever the fuel gauge, that needs some work. It's not reading right.
It's always good to know how much fuel you got.
Yeah, that's true.
Shoot, I thought it was full.
Yeah, we spent Saturday putting a lot of the trim parts on, getting it ready for the show.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So, yeah, well, fun.
Good time.
That sounds like it. Well, good. Any other shout-outs?
Nope. Oh, you're talking with him or
Nate? Nope.
Nope, I'm good.
All right.
I'm passing.
No.
I pass.
Wow. No shout-out, huh?
I know. You seem shocked.
I am shocked. I and dismayed. About seven of them.
Dismayed.
You don't want to give a shout-out to the guy that was screaming at you?
No, but that was...
To put your window down?
I did tell the guys before we started recording that... it was yesterday, actually. I was just about ready to go to my next patient. It was just after lunchtime. I was parked in a Target parking lot and not too far from where I used to live, actually. And I thought, well, I'll go in the bathroom real quick and I'll come back out and then I'll leave and go see this patient. And here comes this guy, broad daylight, coming across the parking lot going, "Hey, put down your window." And I could hear him and I look over and, you know, I'm always a very helpful chap, you know, but I have my doors locked anyway, no problem. And I was like, and I looked at him and I just went, "No." Like, and he got so irate, he started cussing and screaming and throwing a fit, and then I just took off.
Why
and, like,
you wouldn't have done that.
Right. And so obviously he's up to no good and whatever he wanted. Mental health problems, I'm sure, but I was not going to stick around and find out. So I went to head to my patient's house, but I still had to go to the bathroom, right? And I had some extra time. So I stopped at a BP that was closer into downtown.
He's telling
right?
the whole story.
Downtown. Oh, I'm telling it all. Downtown. And I got in there and I thought, well, this looks like a reputable BP, and the lady in there, I couldn't understand her very well, but she basically told me where the bathroom was at and that there was a trick door back there. Well, I took that to heart, I guess, not enough. And when I went in there, there was a sign that said push, and I got in there okay. Couldn't really lock the door, but I was like, what in the world is going on with this door? So I finally got my bathroom going accomplished. When I turned around there, the doorknob had been sawed off. And so I'm like, what in the world? And I couldn't get out.
That's a scary movie start.
Exactly. And I was like, I feel like a prisoner. So I had to dig my fingers into what was Shanghai'd. Left of the doorknob, right? And I was just waiting to be Shanghai'd, right? They would not keep me. And there's human trafficking out there. They're not going to take me. But it took me some effort to get that door open. And I was like, I am never stopping again. I don't know. Maybe I would have been better off to take the Target guy on. You know, I got to go to the bathroom. Leave me alone. But yeah, so I'm just going to hold my pee all day from now on. I'm not stopping. Or say, you know, Mrs. Johnson, I know this is a strange request, but can I use your bathroom before
Mental
I go?
Health is such a real thing. And I'm not talking about like,
oh, it's
like how we struggle with, you know, depression or anxiety,
yeah.
like mental health of that type of,
yeah.
like the guy screaming when I went to the, the federal building to, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm driving around trying to find a place to park, and there was a woman that, I mean, this is 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, broad daylight on the corner. I'm at a stoplight. I just so happen to look over because I hear a commotion, and she's screaming her head off, and she just pulls down her pants and bares her butt and is smacking it, yelling at somebody like to kiss her butt. You know?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, what is going on here?
This is why I don't know.
I don't know if that's don't mental come down health. To, that might be just no shame.
This is why I don't come downtown to Indy anymore. I used to live down there, and I used to really enjoy it.
Then there was a guy on a bicycle. He was yelling at somebody at a gas station, and he was literally in the middle of the road with traffic coming. He couldn't care less. I mean, cars are going around. I mean, it's just crazy. And that was all within like 2 minutes. I'm like, what? Yeah. I mean, people are just yelling, screaming.
It's becoming the Wild Wild West for sure. It really is.
It's like, wow.
I have to watch my P's and Q's for sure.
I said, oh, yeah, we'll check that. No, yeah. I don't have a butt.
So. My goal is to help people as best I can and get home.
And I'm not
one
making
piece.
Fun of them at all.
No, not at all.
Bad that they're in that situation.
I know.
But it's like,
I agree.
But it's not, it's kind of scary.
It happened a little while back, but since we're on the subject,
is this still my shout out?
Have you guys seen the video? And there is a video of this if anybody's interested in trying to find it. It was here in Indianapolis. This guy at a bus stop, and he lit his underwear on fire.
What?
Well, who doesn't do that?
No.
I did that today.
It's like he dropped his pants or whatever.
No, I haven't seen that.
I don't know if he put lighter fluid on his groin area or whatever and lit it on fire.
Wow. It's terrible.
Evidently, he enjoys it. I don't know.
That's sadistic.
They call him hot pants.
Yeah.
Hot shorts.
I saw a video.
There's a video of it.
Wow.
Quite interesting.
I think it was a video in some. Okay. I want to say it was like London or something, but there was a camera footage of a guy that accidentally left a lighter in a laundromat, and he had it in his pocket, and then he put it in the dryer,
and he
walks out, and you see, it's terrible. I don't think anybody was hurt, but it just blows up, and he just left in the whole door.
Oh man,
it's terrible. It's funny, but it's not funny. It's like, but it says, you know, footage of guy that left the lighter.
It's kind of like the action movies and you know the scenes where they walk away and then behind them
building blows.
Yeah,
up.
You know they kind of walk slow. Is that what they did? The guy was just walking. Yeah.
The guy was out.
Yeah, he wasn't doing my laundry.
Oh yeah,
he had to have gotten a little bit of that explosion like burst, but it was terrible.
Well, thanks for that shout out, Sean.
I like my shout out. I went from zero to whoa. Somebody shut Sean up.
I do have a shout out. I'm going to shout out my son, Elijah, who he was a little bit late to the game, but he got on the freshman football team.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
This is his second week of practice, so they said he had to have 10 practices before he could take the field. The first two practices, the coaches kind of dropped the ball a little bit. They didn't let him practice. Long story. I won't the head coach was sick or something, and so they kind of jacked around, so they didn't get him his equipment and didn't catch him up. So he wasn't able to practice for the first 2 days. So I don't know if they're counting that against him or if they're going to count. You know, anyway, regardless, this is second week. He's got 3 more games on the schedule, so I'm going to go to the last 3 games and see if he dresses and maybe he plays. So
awesome.
I asked him, I said, what number did they give you? He said, number 5. So,
very cool.
And he had texted me last week before we recorded, you know, and he said, hey, they got me doing something other than running back because he thought they'd have him as running back, which he's perfect for a receiver or tight end, but I guess he didn't want to do that because they don't throw the ball much. So he was like, well, maybe running back, and they thought maybe he could do running back because he's fast and strong. Inside linebacker. So he's on defense, so he gets to hit people.
Yeah, right.
His favorite
take
thing
out his
to
aggression,
do.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he's going to hit people. So, no, but shout out to him for practicing and having fun. He enjoys it. He's loving it.
Good job, Elijah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So he'll be. I would imagine he'll stick with it, and he'll be ready to go next year for the work. You know, the summer workouts, and
he went from football to football.
Yeah, he did. Went from football.
you can keep that.
Football. You're right, Sean.
We'll keep it amongst us. See this one here.
So shout out to him. Shout out to Elijah practicing football. So anyway, let's get to our second sponsorship, Nate. Hey, Creepies, do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Market Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. Thank you, Scott and Corey of Greenwood Happy Haunts, for your sponsorship. Love you guys. Thank you.
We do love them.
Feel like we're just there.
We were.
It does feel like we were just there.
I was going to joke and say, Scott and Corey, who? What? I did mention to them, actually, I mentioned it to the Haunted House people today. And they're, I will say that they're not in Greenwood, but they're roundabouts that facility or okay. that vicinity. I did say, hey, did you know that there's an all around, all year round, you know, Halloween fall store? And they said, we've heard of that place. We got to go there. So
nice.
Scott and Corey, hopefully got some, another couple in their family coming.
Gotta give them, give them more business.
Yeah.
I'll see them next year.
Nate makes one
it's an annual event for
makes an annual appearance. Yep,
that's right.
Every September.
Mm-hmm. I won't be there if I see my shadow, though.
Oh, like the groundhog.
He's the ground Nate.
I thought he was the hedgehog.
The Nate hog.
Exactly right.
Well, yeah, we do appreciate their sponsorship. So go get you some Greenwood Happy Haunts.
That's
merch.
Right. Absolutely.
And it helps us too.
Mm-hmm. It does. Helps everybody.
We get a little discount. All right. Second announcement, Sean, you have those, please, sir?
I do. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two ways. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. And we sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice.
I like it.
It's getting it's officially spooky season. Today is October 1st, mm-hmm. so we failed to mention that. So,
yeah. Happy October 1.
Yeah.
That's weird. Isn't that weird to think?
Now, the weather still thinks it's July or August. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
But, I mean, it's still it's pleasant.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not humid.
No. Yeah, the humidity finally. Man. We kicked that in the butt a little bit, didn't we? Mm-hmm.
I went to Sonic to get my, Route 44 vanilla
Coke. You never do that. Right. Did you have the windows down?
But I do it. Now I do it. They took away the app. Not you can still order on the app, but they don't give you a discount like they used to. Mm-hmm. They used to do it like if you order your drinks off the app, it was like half price. Mm. Well, now they do it at a certain time. Mm-hmm. So if you go to the location, I think it's like 2 to 4, 1 to 3, something like that, then there's a discount. And so that's what I do. So I get it. And it was a little warm because I had my jacket on. Because it's freezing in the church. Mm-hmm. I went outside. I'm like, I'm a little hot. So there's no winning. There's no winning with me. So
mm-hmm.
anyway, but yeah, go get you some Mako merch.
That's right.
Get you, it's going to be cool.
It's going to be cool. Yeah, go get you something warm, mm-hmm. right?
Get a hoodie. And if you're hot, get something cold. Get a coffee mug. Do what?
I said get something that'll make you warm or get something to make you cool. Yeah. I don't know. Whatever you want.
You can order your long sleeve t-shirts.
Pajamas, whatever.
Toilet seat mm-hmm. cover, maybe. Right.
We'll get creative.
Why did I hear? I heard a podcast the other day, and they said that they had. It was a merch item, and it was kind of a odd. I'm trying to remember what, but it made me think of Jerry's, shower curtain and mm-hmm. our toilet seat cover.
You know what? This
I'm trying to think what it was.
I have a
zester.
A what?
A zester.
A zester.
That like Uncle Fester.
I don't know what
zester. Orange peel zester. Hmm. It looks like a little cheese grater.
I know what you're talking about. Yes. Yeah.
I never
with the Mako like logo.
We'll work on that.
You know what? This sounds really silly, and I have not verbalized this to you or any other time, but I want glasses with the Mako. Like not glasses like we're wearing, but like drinking glasses. You remember how you used to go to McDonald's or whatever and you'd have the
Grimace
collectible. Yes. We need the Mako like ones. Like
with our pictures on them,
and the logo.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah,
maybe that I can make happen.
Pete Peterson,
I'm
Austin
pretty sure
Lawrence,
I can make that happen.
Sin Trader, Corey and Scott, right? That made
Micah.
Where did we stop? Dracula,
middle aged and creeped out elixir.
There you go.
Wow,
is that a weird? Now. Is that kind of a weird thought though? But that's
is it going to get?
That's my dream logo. Like, if I know I'll have made it if I'm on a glass.
Well, you're on somebody's t-shirt, so.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. My skeleton, Skeletor.
All right. Yeah, go get some Mako merch. Mm-hmm. Nate, it is your turn, sir, to help us get out of here.
Oh, man. I got like a real sharp pain in my chest. I think I need a new organ.
Oh, geez.
That's a wrap.
Oh, geez. Just had to slide that in there, didn't you?
Geez, oh, Pete. That's what I had to say.
Not Pete Peterson.
No. Wow. That was really pulling one out there, Nate. Oh, gosh. Well, thank you, Nate. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our episode 236 and our discussion on Haunted Oregon. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we're middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.